This is Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk, and you can find out more at my website, allbook-books.com, and the Substack page for the most current essays and poems, Musings from Between the Lines. Back to school week. So we're looking at what the word school means and what the consciousness shifts. I notice it because I like feel it. There's a certain kind of anarchy of summer and people are out and about. And then as soon as the school season starts, I kind of sense this narrowing, this funneling into back to the grind and this kind of detachment from the outdoors in a way back into the school system. And the season shift, and yeah, just by identifying that, it helps me to deal with it, to stay in tune with what normally keeps me humming along. And that shift I noted in a previous show, I attribute to, mentioned in the book, Removable Type Histories of the Book in Indian Country, 1663 to 1880 by Philip H. Round. And there's a masthead of the Mental Elevator, a native language newspaper of the Buffalo Creek Mission School for Seneca students from 1841. Then he goes on to say, the engravings and woodcuts produced to enhance these glowing descriptions of native education also idealize literacy education as a passage between civilization and wilderness, often placing a book at the focal point of the illustration. This pictorial trope, made famous in the Dartmouth College seal, was perfected in the 1840s when the Buffalo Creek Mission School for Seneca students published a native language newspaper whose masthead vignette formalized the role of literacy education in transforming the Indian hunter into the gentleman property owner. Native perspectives on literacy practices were decidedly different. Indian converts chronicled similar scenes in their own narratives, but with different emphasis. Historical records suggest that many native parents viewed relinquishing their children to European schools as an important way of rebuilding community in the face of Euro-American colonization, often giving a child to a missionary for, that's in quotes, giving for education was understood as part of well-established practices at alliance building. During the 17th century, native sons and daughters were given to Euro-American missionaries and teachers in much the same way that Pocahontas was, quote, married to John Rolfe. So that goes on and on, but, you know, one of the gists, that touches on the forced boarding schools with the atrocious Henry Pratt. One of the mottos was kill the Indian, save the man. So there's this patterning of, you know, literally trying to convert somebody through the educational system, which is some of, I still think that's some of the flavor nowadays that is being perpetrated on Americans and Western society, is this continuation of the book in a kind of biblical sense that looks to convert people through the educational system. And, you know, part of how that shift, again, I noticed it with the seasonal shift and, you know, everybody's sort of sense of recreation in the summer gets lost and it's back to school, when really the ongoing story is the creation, the creational, not just a recreational summer, but creational is ongoing. I'm trying to express like what the ongoing shift of nature and the, you know, creation in a natural seasonal sense is ongoing, but the school system tends to shut that off. I know they do field trips and this and that, but the making the gist of the point I'm making. Now, personally, I don't know. I obviously learned something in school. I got something out of it that helped my interest in literature. But beyond that, what I spent years where just didn't do a whole lot for me. And then I would have to say that my interest in the holistic approach and my spiritual path unfolding opened up something that then opened up a deeper interest in the literature and the writing. So that's not to say, you know, this is all not to say there can't be positives from the school system, but I think it takes a wider angle to really open up a child's true sense of learning in a fuller sense. Now, looking at the word, the etymology, the word school comes from Old English school, institution for instruction. Institution for instruction. Now, that's a loaded statement there. People are being instructed and, you know, told how to do stuff, being fed information. I've heard from Native people that, like, there's like a show, you know, one just learns by hanging around elders and other people. One learns on the job. So that's something, you know, lacking in the, here's the books and this is what you will learn. And the other interesting thing I find looking this word root up of school is that, let's see. In the older Greek sense, so in this English-Latin sense, it's a conversation, debate, lecture, disciples of a teacher, a sect, sort of has this religious flavor to it. But in the older Greek, intermission of work, leisure for learning. This is from Greek, skhol, S-K-H-O-L-E, spare time, leisure, rest, ease, idleness. Now that is very different from the way the school system is now, where kids, you know, they have hours of homework and whatever. It's sort of like training for the 9 to 5 jobs. But I saw this this documentary a long time ago. I think it was on TV. I don't remember it. It was like 15, 20 something years ago. It showed a sort of alternative school. And what I remember was this young woman said she spent like a year. I may be paraphrasing, it may be actual, but the gist of it was she was like spent a year basically not doing much work at all, like lounging on the couch. This was at the school. But then she had an aha moment, and she, from that, she discovered her own, like her own, what she really wanted to do, her own path, her own learning, where her true focus is. So that year of leisure, which would just be like totally not tolerated in the 9 to 3 school system or whatever it is, 8 to 3, 8 to 2. It's training for the 9 to 5 to a large degree, but she found that by not doing anything, by the leisure. And I can personally attest to that. When I first started, when I left the office job and I started working at home and I had to discipline myself, some of the office discipline helped. So there's my little bit of my, quote, schooling, working at the computer. And that literally helped me focus and do, you know, when I had to do an invoice to somebody to pay me, that kind of stuff. So that was helpful. But I went through a lot of self-questioning. And like sometimes, you know, feeling guilty, like, oh, I didn't do much today. I didn't do enough. So, but that took a while. I don't know how long, a year or more, or years maybe, just to, and it still comes up once in a while and I have to tell myself otherwise. But it was a similar leisure thing where I would just say, oh no, I just can't get into the work today. I'm going to go rake leaves, or I'm going to go out and have coffee and talk to people, and whatever it was or whatever it is, I would sort of not do anything and feel like I should be doing anything, but then I would get an idea and then something would click with the writing. So that to me, again, is this, you know, different styles of discipline or not for different writers and artists, but the leisure time and the quiet time, you could call it the, you know, the yin time and the yin yang clock. That to me is essential in the creative process, so that I still go through it today when, you know, a day will go, so during a day I just can't get into it, and I have to say, no, don't get down on myself for not, you know, producing enough today. Just give it some space. And so I think it's a lot about learning one's own writing working patterns, which I mentioned last time, because I know I've learned that I am basically like a streak hitter, to use a baseball metaphor. So when the idea clicks or something is on, I kind of get hot and I get a lot done in a short amount of time. So knowing that, when I'm in a quiet period or I'm not doing much, I have to tell myself, okay, you know you're a streak hitter. Once that idea clicks, you're going to be busy as I'll get up. So, and make up. A lot of times I can make up in a short amount of time what I didn't do in the downtime. So that's all about, you know, what works for you. But I think in here, the gist of my concern is a school system that is compressing and restricting people and funneling them into this, you know, this is the way to do it, and not giving the space for the leisure, which is like sort of not educational, but it's educational in a different way. It's a different learning process. It's not the enforced, everything structured to the minute learning process. And one more thing to add is, not long ago I looked up the word scholar, and basically it's a wordplay of schooler. He's a schooler, if you want to use a Gaelic or whatever accent, Scottish accent, I don't know. He's a schooler. So what do we think of when we think of scholar? We think of someone who knows a lot, someone who's well-read, he's a man of letters. That's part of the definition in school, is one who knows the classic literature. So again, this whole sense of this putting on a pedestal of a learned person, or a scholar, there it is, SCH, in the late 14th century, the broader meaning, learned person, especially one having great knowledge of philosophy and classical literature, is from late 13th century. So this sense of putting on a pedestal, the scholar and the learned person, the man of letters who has read the books, can be useful, but then again, this becomes the thing for the school rather than the leisure learner, for one, and also the experiential learner, people that learn in the field, and they learn by doing, and they learn by hanging around people who are doing, and they pick up tips and nuances and little subtleties by just hanging out with someone that they wouldn't get in the official book. Of, you know, it's I guess it's like the cooking metaphor, where some of the greatest cooks are, you know, the people tell about their grandmother or their great grandmother, they just, you know, put a pinch of this in and a pinch of that. It wasn't an exact measurement. So I think that metaphor applies to the schooling system, and to the, if you want to become a schooler, consider not having to go just by the books. And you know, there's a certain sense of intuition in the cooking process too, that can be applied to cooking up a good story. So thanks for listening. Be well.